الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. I want to remind myself and you, it is the natural tendency of the human being to look after and to try to beautify and to try to improve anything that he or she appreciates, anything that he or she values. If you value your home, you try to clean it and make it look nice and decorate it and beautify it. If you value your car, you make sure that it is serviced properly and that it is washed and so on and polished. If you value your clothes, out of your clothes you don't value all of them equally. Some clothes you value more than others, maybe they are more expensive or some brands or whatever. So those you hang them up nicely, maybe inside a case, inside your cupboard. And other clothes which you don't value so much, they might be hanging on a nail in a wall or something. So whatever you value more, the sign of that value, the sign that you value that thing is that you take care of it and you look after it and you try to beautify it and you try to improve it. And therefore, I ask myself and I ask you to ask yourself, how much do we value our salah? And what is the sign that we value this salah? Because if you apply the same standard, if an outsider is observing our salah, if an outsider is seeing us standing in salah, what is that person seeing? What is that person seeing? In some cases, that person may be seeing someone who was a little while ago in a horizontal position on his bed, and now that person is in a vertical position in salah. There is no other visible difference. The same condition of clothes, the same condition of the head, the same condition. You have to doubt whether the person even made wudu, because it doesn't even look like the person washed his face. But he's standing in salah. Allah Allah, maybe he made wudu, of course. But I'm just saying that if you look at the person as an outsider, what do you see? An outsider, I'm saying, because this is one of the usul in the fiqh as well. For example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi said that your salah is invalid if someone looking at you cannot figure out if you are in salah or not. He's talking about movement in salah. Like some people are standing in salah, then scratching their head, then scratching their, this one here and there, and adjusting their beard and adjusting their cap and adjusting their clothes and all of this. So, according to Hanafi fiqh, if an outsider who does not know, if he looks at you and he is thinking to himself, is this man praying or is not praying? Then that man's prayer is not valid. He has to repeat his salah because he has moved so many times that somebody looking at him cannot even decide whether this man is actually praying or is simply standing there. So if somebody looks at with this intention of saying, does this person value this thing or not? If someone looks at us standing in salah, what do they see? And as I said, in some cases, you might see somebody who looks like he has only been stood up from his bed. There's no visible difference. On the other hand, you see somebody who is properly dressed, who is wearing decent clothes, good clothes. Maybe he's applied some perfume or something. And this applies to the men, not to the women. And the person is standing in salah in a proper way, where you can say, yes, here is a person who has taken some trouble about coming into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you see the position of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we had the opportunity of looking at him standing in salah, what would we have seen? We would have seen somebody who, first of all, if you saw him standing in Salatul Fajr, you could make out very easily that he did not just come out of bed. Right? Because he would be dressed properly, his head would be covered, He would have either a cap or a turban on his head. His beard would be combed. And he would be standing in a state of khushu. He would be standing in a state of concentration before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His outer garment would be long. His undergarment, the trouser would be above his ankles. Would not be dragging on the ground. This is what we would see, right? Today we have people who want to follow the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, very good. So follow the sunnah, right? But then what do they do with the sunnah? They take one sunnah and they want to follow that only. And what to do with the rest? For example, they will say, Ameen, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot hear. Yeah? The roof of the masjid will shake. But what about the sunnah of covering the head? What about the sunnah of your trouser above your ankle? What about the sunnah of khushu in salah? Who is supposed to take care of that? Or the only sunnah you are interested in is when you can shout. Yeah? Not that is a sunnah in the first place, because Rasulullah actually specifically prohibited somebody from shouting. There was a man who was praying and saying, yelling, Ya Allah, Rasulullah said, your Rabb is not deaf. He said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a soft voice. He said, don't no need to yell and scream because your Rabb is not deaf. He said, Allah can hear. Ameen bil jahar, alhamdulillah, is a sunnah. By all means, say Ameen, but there is no need to scream. And what about the other things? Today, we are, at least I am, deliberately very flexible, and I do not insist on this and that, because we are living in a world, alhamdulillah, if people are coming to pray, this is good, inshallah, we say fine, you know, come and pray. But if you look at the salaf, if you look at the behavior of the people whose name we take, the salafus salihin, and who are the first of the salafus salihin? The sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who are the first among the sahaba? The khulafa rashidin. Yes? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, follow me and follow the khulafa rashidin. What was their situation? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu has been stabbed. He is dying. He is bleeding. When they give him water, the water comes out of his belly. His whole stomach was ripped out. He is in that condition. He is dying. A young man from Medina comes to see him. And as he is going, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says, call him back. When the man came back, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, lift up your izar, lift up your garment. It is better for your taqwa and it is better for your garment. Now imagine, this is the Khalifatul Muslimin, he is dying. Yeah? And what is he advising the young man? About something which we consider to be completely unimportant. So, is our criterion of judging what is important and what is not important, is that criterion correct? Or is the criterion of the, not just the Khalifa of Muslims, but one of the prime students of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who learned directly from the Nabi? Is his understanding of deen superior, or is your and my understanding of deen superior? So, I am always in this dilemma. Should I say or should I not say? If I say, then my young brothers will get offended and then they will not come to the masjid. Frankly, it makes no difference to me. It's not my house. It's Allah's house. You don't want to come, don't come. Nobody is doing me a favor by coming to the masjid. But if I don't say, then who should say? Somebody has to say, no? And primary responsibility is on me. So, what should I do? Worry about my own popularity, or should I worry about being true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which one? Seriously, I mean, this issue of trousers below the ankle. I mean, subhanAllah, I tell you, the trousers should not be below the ankle. But I'm saying, even if the trouser was below the ankle, you know, maybe half an inch or something, that would, even there, we would say, alright, let us be kind. We have trousers which are below the foot. Not just below the ankle. The man is walking on that trouser. Allah, how can you even do that? I mean, where is the tahara? The basic issue of tahara. Where is tahara? Tell me. That trouser is coming under your foot. You are actually walking on this thing. Their ends are frayed. It is discolored because it's been walking through, I don't know, Allah Alam, all kinds of filth and dirt. And that thing you bring into the masjid. Yeah, you must tell those brothers, please lift up your foot and smell the end of that trouser. You will see how it will stink. You go into the bathroom in the same state, the trouser below the foot, and you come into the masjid. How is your salah valid, tell me? Is it valid? The basic principle of salah is tahara. Your taharat is not there because your trouser is dragging on the ground. How is it that these people who wear these kinds of trousers, that they do not have a sense of karahiyat? They do not have a sense of dislike with that. I mean, somebody look, like, if I look at it, I feel karahiyat to look at it. How is it you are wearing it and you don't see that? Now please, tell your friends, I mean, you know, may Allah protect us. I'm just saying that whoever, tell them, lift that thing up. Why do you have it so, you know, hanging like that? For what? So also with the issue of upper clothing. Here, of course, alhamdulillah, all of you are okay, but I'm just saying that because this goes to all over the world. People wear, men wear trousers, which I don't know, I think they defy gravity. How the trouser is still on the body, I don't know. It's hanging so low. And then he has a t-shirt on top, which is so short, that if you are standing behind him and he goes into ruku, you have to go and make wudu again. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I mean, ajeeb. You can see the whole, you know, all his equipment. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is this? This is salah? What kind of salah is this? I mean, such clothes should not be worn anyway. I mean, forget about masjid. I mean, this is ridiculous. Huh? Why do you dress like that? I mean, you know. Wear decent clothes. Wear clothes which give you dignity. Wear clothes which make you look good. Alhamdulillah. How can you look good in a trouser which is falling off and a shirt that doesn't even cover your bottom? So advise people, tell them, don't dress like this. Dress in a manner which is, you know, becoming of a man. I mean, what is this? It's not even human dress. So let us be clear, when we come to the masjid, dress properly. Wear good clothes. Alhamdulillah, going before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to the house of Allah. Go with that consciousness, with that awareness. I'm going into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying wear a three-piece suit or something. Wear good, decent clothes. That's enough. But do that. Take that trouble. The issue is, all of this affects the salah. Because your consciousness, if you go to the salah, I'm just going. Inshallah, Allah will give you a reward. I'm not talking about the reward of coming to the masjid. Allah will give all that. But how about getting more? Why are we not interested? As I began today, I said, whatever we value, we spend time on it. We spend time on it. We spend some energy on it. We work on it. We make it look good and so on and so on. How about salah? Why should that standard not apply to salah? You know, people who keep pets, people who keep cats and dogs and so on, they will brush it and they will comb it and they will do this and they will tie a ribbon in its hair. How many of them? The pet industry is one of the... It's a multi-billion dollar industry in the West, right? Even here, I mean, there are people that nowadays there are pet shops and whatnot with people, things which are priced at hundreds of thousands of rupees, and there are people who are buying all that. How much time and trouble they take over that thing? Because they value it. Now, how about salah? Do we have value for our salah? We must seriously think about this. A very important matter. Seriously think about it. I have not even gone into the batin of salah, the internal heart and so on and so on. We can't get past the shirt. I mean, how to get into the heart? So let us be very clear that let us see. We start from the outside, we go into the inside, inshallah. But think about it. When we go into the house of Allah, ask yourself, where am I? I'm going to the house of Allah. Am I dressed properly to go into the house of Allah? And dress properly. All it takes the same amount of time to wear a lousy shirt as it takes to wear a decent shirt. And alhamdulillah, there is no one here who is dying of starvation. There is no one here who is, because he is wearing, you know, clothes because they don't have clothes. Right? Your cupboards are bursting with the amount of useless clothes that you have got. Give away some of that stuff. Give it to people who don't have clothes. That is good for you also. So, come with consciousness. I am coming into the house of Allah. How should I be dressed? What should I be doing? As I said, we are not insisting, you know, cover your head and so on, because we want to be nice to you. But you ask yourself, You're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how should you be? Some people have made it their religion that they will pray without a head covering. They'll wear a cap on the head for everything else. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is this? Please, let us be clear. Do not do things which are against the sunnah. As I said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is one hadith, one single hadith about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praying without a head covering. There are any number of hadiths, dozens of hadiths of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praying with the head covering. So if you want to follow the sunnah, don't fool yourself. Don't say you follow one hadith. What should we do with all the others? Delete all of them? Remove them from the books? So don't lie to yourself. If you are following the sunnah, follow the sunnah. No problem. One salah you pray without head covering. No problem. But all the other salat in your life, cover your head. Very important not to fool yourself. And don't lie to yourself. Be truthful to yourself. Right? Let us follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, because there is noor in that. There is grace in that. There is beauty in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah comes on the person who's following sunnah. And I'm saying, alhamdulillah, I'm talking to people who are coming to the masjid to pray. I'm not talking to people who are not coming for salah at all. I would not be saying all this to them. People who are coming to the masjid to pray, I'm saying you're taking all the time and trouble to come out of your house, go all the way to the masjid to pray, and then you go in a state. Why? Go in a good, you took all the trouble to come to the masjid, so come nicely, man. Wear some good, you know, come in a way which is in keeping with the dignity of the masjid. Alhamdulillah. So please, and also advise your friends. It's not only for you. Alhamdulillah, you are doing the right thing, but advise your friends also when they come. As they are coming, don't wait for somebody to come inside and then the imam has to say. Why should the imam say anything? You know enough to tell the people, tell them. It's your job also. Amar bil Maruf is not only the job of the imam. It's the job of everybody, all the Muslims. So tell them, when they are coming into the masjid, tell them, please, you know, whatever is to be done, tell them specifically. Let them do it. Let them hear it from you. It is better for them also. Instead of being told something publicly in front of everybody, let them, you tell them privately. It is also nice. It is also good for them. But let us make sure when we go to the masjid, that we go with concentration, with dedication, with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then all of this will reflect in the quality of our salah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do what is pleasing to Him and to bless us with the with His pleasure in our actions and to accept our actions for His sake. Today is Jummah. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, there is a time in Jummah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts every dua which is made. So make lots of dua, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept those duas. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.